Now we're going to hear our Bible reading from Cameron, and then he's going to bring us a quick message on prayer.
So we're just going to be reading from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31, which you can follow along on the screen behind me. Or if you want to read through the church pew Bibles in front of you, it'll be on page 885. So that's Acts chapter 4, from verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
Hey, good evening, everyone, and add my welcome to all who are here tonight. Perhaps just coming to visit, otherwise you are obviously very welcome to be here and here every week. For those who don't know me, my name is Heath, and I'm pastor here at Miranda Kong. It's a great opportunity for you to come and be a part of our time together. Well, as was spoken about, I'm going to talk about prayer, and Bart Simpson is famous for prayer because it's the last thing that he does whenever there's issues. And he does it a few times. He says it once at the table, because often families, even families that don't particularly have a faith, sometimes say grace at the table. And Bart's grace went something like, "We earned this. Thanks for nothing, God. Amen." It's not a great prayer. But the time when he was forced to pray was when he had an assignment that he was struggling with, and if he didn't pass it, he would have to repeat the fourth grade. And he has finally comes down to a point where he asks God to help him do it. And his little sister Lisa is looking through the door, and she says, "Ah, prayer, the last refuge of a scoundrel." It's often the last thing that we do. There may be all kinds of opportunities that we have to come to God and ask him for help. But for many of us, particularly if we're self-sufficient and quite good at most things, we don't actually ask God for help at all. And yet the passage that we had read for us tonight is a time when those who were probably as close to God as you can get still felt the need to talk to God. And perhaps you may not even believe in God, or you think that God is very distant. A friend actually just posted up on his Facebook feed about 20 minutes ago that to be a believer in God is like being in a dark room looking for a black cat and saying, "I found it," when there's no cat. Perhaps that's your approach to the truth about who God is and whether he's real. Well, those who we hear about here, Peter and John, who were just released from prison, they believe in God, and in fact, they believe so much in God that they have followed his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was just recently raised from the dead. We don't know how long ago, a couple of months perhaps, but they've been telling people about this Jesus whom they spent 3 years of their life with. And they've witnessed everything that he did, the miracles that happened, people regaining their sight, the deaf can hear, the lame can walk, the dead themselves are raised. Jesus did amazing things with people, but he also calmed the storms. He was able to multiply bread to feed thousands. He was truly sent by God, and yet, as we heard in the passage read to us, he was rejected by everybody. Even his own followers abandoned him and betrayed him and denied him. So what happened? Well, it's because the disciples believe that Jesus truly rose from the dead that they follow him now. And they follow him to such an extent, and they're so excited about this Jesus that they're talking about, that they are now on trial for believing and talking about Jesus. And that's why they've just been released, because they were in prison. In prison for talking about Jesus. And they were put in prison not by those who hate God, not those who would say that God doesn't exist. They're actually put in prison by those who believed in God but didn't believe that Jesus was the one who revealed who God was. So that's kind of the backdrop of where we're at. But the important thing here is that if you were released from prison, and I'm not sure why you'd be in there, it might only be overnight or it might be for something a little more serious, whatever it might be, what would be the first thing that you would do? Well, I suspect that you'd probably do something similar to the very first thing they do, which is they go back to their own, it says, their own people, and they talk about what had happened. I think that if you were going through such a hard experience like that, you'd probably go to look for your family or for your friends, those who would support you. And that's what they do, and they talk all about the reasons that they've just spent a night in the lockup. And then the very next thing, really the first thing that they do, is pray. And why do they pray? Because they believe that God is there. And they believe that God hears them, and they believe that God will answer their prayers. And this is the prayer that they prayed. Firstly, they're those who actually see and understand Scripture. You see, it's as they reflect on what Scripture says in Acts chapter 4, reflecting on a psalm, and we've had a few psalms read to us already, but this one's from Psalm 2, and it tells them that God is the one who's in charge. That's why in verse 23 it says, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one." And the word there, anointed one, is the same word for king or Messiah or Christ. All the same word, meaning the same thing. And this is a psalm that was written some 1,200 years ago by their father, David, one of their own ancestors. And they're saying that he wrote about the time when he was actually a king and there were nations and peoples who wanted to dethrone him, but God was in charge of the world. And that's why they start this very prayer by saying, "God," or "Sovereign Lord." In other words, you're the one who's in charge. And you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. The very first thing that they say about who God is that he's our maker. He's the one who made us. He's the one who formed us. He's the one who is over all of this world. And not just sort of setting it up and letting it run loose. He's setting it up and he cares for it. He has his hands on it. And not only that, but he has his hand and his care on his anointed one, on the one that he has chosen to reveal himself to the world. And as the disciples are reading through Psalm chapter 2, they realize that this psalm was not just about David when David was writing it, but it's actually about Jesus. This is what they discover as they pray in verse 27. They say, "Herod and Pontius Pilate." Herod was the king and Pontius Pilate was the ruler, from verse 26. "And they met together with the Gentiles," which is another name for nations, for Israel, "and the people of Israel," the peoples who plot in vain. Suddenly they make this connection between their own situation of the Herod, Pontius Pilate, the nations, the people of Israel. They're actually those who are standing against. They're the ones who rage against Jesus. They're the ones, they say in verse 27, "that conspired against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed." And then they say something quite profound, because we've already sung about what happened in this situation when the nations and the rulers and the kings all rejected Jesus. What happened? He was arrested and tried and falsely accused and convicted and sentenced to death and nailed to a cross, crucified and buried. But these disciples have seen that Jesus rose again. And we've sung all about that. We've sung about Jesus' death. We've sung about how he spread out his hands and he was nailed to the tree. That he did that because he loved us and because he cared for us. And they're making this connection, saying, that was the one that you had anointed, God. How could something so terrible happen to the one that you had chosen? And they say, it happened because God, in his power and will, had decided beforehand this was how it was to be. This was the only way that God was able to reach through to you and to me. The only way that he was able to make some kind of pathway, a bridge, some kind of connection to us, by becoming one of us in the Lord Jesus Christ and then dying for all of the things that we'd done. And now these disciples are wanting people to know. They're wanting people to know that you can actually come to God directly through the Lord Jesus Christ, that you don't need all of the things that the rulers and the priests were claiming that you needed in order to come to God. And amidst all of that, they're saying, God, you're in charge. You're the one who has appointed Jesus. We follow him, and nothing happens that's outside of your control. That's one of the most amazing things that the Bible teaches about who God is, that he is sovereign, which means that whatever you or I are going through, whatever it might be that we face, and these men are facing opposition from their own people and the threat of violence against them, that no matter what we face, that God is in charge. That's why they pray, because they believe that God rules, they believe that God hears, and they believe that God answers. And so they ask in verse 29 that God would hear the threats of their enemies and then enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness, to stretch out your hand to heal, perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They ask not that they would have a situation change where the circumstances would get better. They don't ask for that at all. They actually say, no matter that these people oppose us, no matter that they're raging against us, give us the courage to speak boldly. Give us the courage to be able to do the things that Jesus did, to show that Jesus is real through amazing miracles, signs and wonders that Jesus performed. And they're saying, Jesus, please come, do these things again, show yourself to be true. Show the things that only God can do so that people might know the truth of what we say. That's their prayer. They don't pray for safety. They don't pray for protection. They don't pray that somehow things would suddenly go wonderful and everybody would love and care about them. They say, no, we want to be like Jesus was. We want to follow him and we need your help, God. If you're in charge, we need your help. And when we need your help, please give us the help, not to get out of the situation, but to walk through it and to do what you've given for us to do, which in this case is to tell people about Jesus. And maybe you are someone who faces that kind of situation. And there may be a place, maybe at work, where people have told you, I don't want to hear about your Jesus. Or it might be within your own very family where people have said, you might know Jesus, but I'm not interested in the Jesus stuff. Or it might be your good friends who say, you talk too much about Jesus, I don't want to hear it. Perhaps you're even singing in the car and someone rolls down with road rage and goes, stop singing about Jesus, I don't know. It could happen. Depends how loud the music is. Whatever it might be, people want us, me, you, and others to stop talking about Jesus. Now, in our country, it's relatively safe. There are some countries where to talk about Jesus in public risks far more than just a fine or rejection, but imprisonment and death. And there's lots of places all around the world where that is the reality. We ask God, because we know that he's in charge, not to change what we're going through, but to give us the ability to live through it and do the things that he's asked for us to do. And that he would do the things that only he can do. That's what we pray for. And it tells us that God actually answers their prayer. God doesn't always answer his prayer, the prayers that we have directly, but he does answer this prayer directly, straight after they've prayed in verse 31. It says, after they prayed, the place they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You know, Francis Chan is a pastor who had a really big church in America and decided that he wanted to start a whole network of little churches, and so he went all over the world looking for ways that we could tell people about Jesus in a place that people aren't happy to hear about him. And he was in one place, and he was in a prayer meeting, and he was in the prayer meeting, and then suddenly the building started to shake. He was very excited. He's saying, is this what God was doing in Acts 2? And he was very disappointed to find out that actually it was just a train going underneath that had shaken the room. Well, this is not the train. This is the case where God himself gives them a physical sign that he's been listening to them. You know, it's really echoing Psalm 104, which tells us when God looks to the earth trembles. Here, it's a way that God says, I heard you. And then he answers their prayer. How? Firstly, by filling them with his Holy Spirit, by giving them the power that enables them to do what they've come to do. And then it's through the Holy Spirit that their prayer is answered, because then they speak the word of God boldly. Quite amazingly, God answers this prayer because he wants for people to know about Jesus. He wants for people to come to know Jesus. And because God is in charge, and because he listens to his people who pray, we need to be people, if we're followers of Jesus, to ask God to help us to do the same, to tell people about Jesus. And you might be here tonight, you've come because you've been asked nicely and you didn't want to be rude and say no. And maybe you don't know Jesus at all, or you've only on the way to knowing him. I just want to encourage you tonight that these men who decided that they would tell people about Jesus faced imprisonment and ultimately death for each one of them because they followed Jesus. But they did it because they were convinced of one thing, that he was God's chosen one. He was God's chosen king, and they wanted to follow him wherever he might take them. And so they prayed that they would have the courage to talk about him. So let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for the way that you are the one who made the heavens and the earth. And so you made us, and you are the one who hears our prayers. You're not indifferent to us. You're not far away or angry or distant, but you want to be with us. We thank you that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can come and speak with you. Help us to be those for whom prayer is the first resort, not the last. And help us to be those who ask for help, the help that only you can give, the help of the Holy Spirit, that we might live out how Jesus has asked us to live, wherever that might be and whenever it might happen, so that more and more people might come to know about this amazing Saviour that you have sent. And we ask it for his sake. Amen. Well, we're going to continue on.
So tonight I'll be reading Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in my behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say,
surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
Thanks very much, Charlotte. So in a moment, we'll have an opportunity to pray for gospel growth. Heath just preached to us from the book of Acts about the gospel growth prayers of some of the early church people, early Christians, who faced a lot of persecution, as he described to us, you know, certainly getting thrown in the clink, and you know, Stephen was the first martyr. We live in a society where we're free to practice religion, but you know, my sense is there is increasing persecution in our world. And I know in the last couple of weeks, some of the stuff going on around Israel Palau has been very prominent in the media. And there's been a political correctness that's becoming very intolerant of Christianity. So we do face persecution. But the other thing I've noticed is it's been something lots of people want to talk about. There's lots and lots of different views about whether he should have the right to say it, as well as whether what he said is from the Bible. Now, you may have your own opinions on those, both of those things. But we do face persecution, and we need to respond as those early Christians did, and as Heath preached to us this evening, knowing that God is in charge, and praying for courage to speak boldly about our Lord and Saviour. So as you hear the conversations around that event that's going on in our country at this time, speak out boldly and get the discussion going to talk about what you believe, why you believe it, and whether or not Christians should be allowed to practice freedom of religion in this country, because it is a serious issue that is something our whole Western world is moving in a direction that's away from giving us that freedom that we've experienced for all my life, at least, and hopefully for all of the lives of everyone in this room. So just create a small group of 5 or 10 people around where you're sitting, and I just encourage you to pray for gospel growth and also to praise and worship your God. And, you know, you might, for example, like to open up a psalm and use that as part of your prayer, or just pray for gospel growth and boldness and courage to speak out. So I'll give you a couple of minutes to do that, and then I'll close in prayer, and then we'll move through the final parts of our service. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are in charge, and as we face persecution in our own lives and in our own society, as the early church did, I pray that we also would respond as those early Christians did, knowing you're in charge and knowing that your Holy Spirit was dwelling within, and that Holy Spirit gave them the courage to speak boldly and to continue the great work of the gospel in the society they lived. And we pray that you would also, through your Spirit, give us the boldness to do so also, and lead us into those conversations and those situations where we can, like the early church, bring new people into your kingdom. Amen.
Good evening. I'm reading Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
I'm going to read from Psalm 67, which is a mission psalm that all the nations of the earth can join in praising our God. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, that all the ends of the earth will fear him.
Thank you, Caitlin, and thank you to all of you coming along tonight to share in worshipping and praising our God. Great to have you here, and then great to hear your voices, and to hear you all praying fervently for the gospel growth. So that was great. We'll just finish with one quite short psalm, if you'll pray with me as I read Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Amen.